The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. This is News on the Dot. Today is Monday, December 19, 2022. The sessions of the National Assembly of People's Power and the 22nd Summit of the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of our America People's Trade Treaty, focused on Cuba, ended on Sunday. The final session of the Parliament of the Year was also the closing of its ninth legislature, with a busy agenda with the approval of four important laws in tune with the legislative reform that the country is undergoing. It also included the approval of the economy plan for 2023, aimed at achieving greater effectiveness and speed in the development of objectives, accountability of organizations, and analysis of the most pressing problems of the nation, among other issues addressed by legislatures. Reporting to the plan area on his management in the stage, President Miguel Díaz-Canel self-critically expressed his dissatisfaction for not having achieved all the objectives proposed by the government, which was influenced both by the complex international situation and the blockade of the United States and internal deficiencies that he called to overcome. At the culmination of the 3 days of work in the plenary session of Parliament, an extraordinary session was held to celebrate the 18th anniversary of the creation of the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of our America People's Trade Treaty, ALBA TCP. The Code Pink organization said on the anniversary of the announcement of the normalization of bilateral relations, which were affected during the Donald Trump administration, that it is time for the United States to return to the path of peace with Cuba. The U.S. Solidarity Association stressed in a tweet that during the government of Barack Obama, there were a series of steps that allowed for the opening of embassies in the capitals of the two countries and the establishment of ties. However, this process rolled back during the Trump administration, which intensified the economic, commercial, and financial blockade against Cuba and applied more than 240 unilateral coercive measures that included impediments to family reunification and immigration services, the suspension of remittances, obstacles to travel to Cuba, and the cancellation of cruises. The Latin American Information Agency, Prensa Latina, was selected as a member of the Council of the Belt and Road News Network, a media cooperation mechanism created in China at the proposal of President Xi Jinping. Yu Shuoliang, editor-in-chief of the People's Daily newspaper, made the announcement during the opening of the second meeting of the entity taking place in Beijing, both online and face-to-face. Prensa Latina was chosen for being a medium of international prestige and importance, and within the board, it will participate in the provisions made by the news network, founded in 2017 and currently integrated by 218 organizations from 101 nations worldwide. The president of Prensa Latina, Luis Enrique González, spoke in the meeting via video conference from the entity's headquarters in Havana, Cuba. And in the international agenda, we have that, at last, following some 3 months of discussions on occasions more like talking to a wall dialogue, 14 of 16 Chilean political parties in the National Congress came to an agreement to establish an entity aimed at writing a new constitution. It turns out the Constitutional Council is a group made up of 50 members with the same rights elected by popular and mandatory vote, plus a not yet determined number of seats for indigenous peoples. They will be joined by a team of 24 experts, also with gender equality and elected on equal parts by deputies and senators, who will be prestigious experts in law, economics, and other social sciences. The General Secretary of the Chilean Communist Party, Lautaro Carmona, said that it was not a perfect agreement as they had wished, but rather the result of the defeat at the September 4 plebiscite when the rejection option won. In this way, Chile will have put into practice one of the commitments that emerged from the 2019 social uprising, that is to say, to eliminate the Magna Carta imposed by the dictatorship in 1980, which includes the basis of the neoliberal system and privileges for a minority. Meanwhile, the Peruvian parliament will try again today to reach an agreement to call early general elections, one of the main demands of the protests in which 25 civilians died until the weekend. The differences lie in how soon the elections must be held and under what conditions, and the extreme right-wing caucuses and their centrist allies are considering longer terms and reforms that correspond to their positions. The left considers that the proposed deadlines were very long given the urgency required by the worsening of the crisis and the protests, and demands that the elections include a referendum in which the population decides whether or not they want a constituent assembly. Left and center legislators propose as an alternative way out a formula applied in 2000 after the escape of the until-then ruler Alberto Fujimori. The potential proposal provides for the resignation of Boluarte and of the head of Congress, José Williams, with the election of a reliable congressman. The president ratified her refusal to leave office, invoking the legality of her promotion to office from the vice presidency to replace Pedro Castillo, imprisoned for trying to dissolve parliament. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.